From Globe Life Park in Arlington, Texas, this is Dugout Dirt, a Texas Rangers podcast. It's a baseball podcast about everything that happens outside the chalk lines.
One thing that I really want the fans to know is that the marketing department exists in this organization to try to bring the fans closer to the club.
It's not a job, it's a life.
You know, the best compliments I ever get are when I receive a message or a letter from a blind person who says, I feel like I can see the game.
I've been fortunate to kind of help him put this group together. And there's a lot of special people and, makes coming to work fun every day.
Flood of emotions, relief, excitement, elation. I knew that I carried a trailer of people with me that 90 feet.
After he was finished, I just kind of raised my hand and said, okay, which wall do you want me to run through?
It was 2005. I'd been here for about a year. Had just taken responsibility for office phone systems. At the time, I worked for Kelly Fisher. I was in what was then called the Rawlings Club, and I got a call on my cell phone during game time, and Kelly said, are you having issues with the bullpen phone? And I said, not that I'm aware of. Who told you that? She said, it's on the national broadcast. I said, oh, crap, I'll give you a call right back. So I tried to figure out what was going on. She called me back, and she said, I see there's somebody in the bullpen fixing the phone. I said, not one of my guys. I don't know what's going on. I'll call you back. So eventually I was able to track down what had happened. Somebody had grabbed Mike Call, our electrician, and had him go and take a look at the bullpen phone. And a little bit of background, this was 2005. We were playing the White Sox. They went all the way that year. And actually, they were having a rough time with us. It was kind of a home run derby, and evidently, one of their pitchers had gotten frustrated and had beaten the heck out of the bullpen phone with a baseball bat. And Mike Call had to go put the phone back together, kind of like a Big Poppy incident, but we had it first. So strange things can happen on our worst day. When we have a failure, it shows up in the news or in the video feed. We kind of had a similar incident, and I think everybody's probably aware of this, in 2012, where La Russa got confused because of static on a phone and got the names Repzinski and Mott mixed up. You could see how you could mix up those names.
Working in baseball can often lead to a thrilling career. The unpredictability always keeps you on your toes. And I'm not talking about playing the game of baseball. I'm talking about just working in the front office in an organization of a baseball team. You never know when your name might end up in the headlines for impacting the game. If this is your first time listening to Dugout Dirt, my name is Jared Couch. I am your host. And our goal with Dugout Dirt is to tell the stories outside the chalk lines and tell the stories of the people and the departments that make the Texas Rangers organization such a great company to work for. On this episode of Dugout Dirt, we have the pleasure of hearing from Texas Rangers Vice President of Technology, Mike Bullock.
What's the role of IT in baseball?
Yeah, I think technology has changed the way we work. We're dependent on technology, but it also facilitates productivity. And you know, I think people have an expectation that they can work anywhere, work everywhere, all the time. Some people may blame me for that, but I think that's fundamentally our role. And obviously, from a fan perspective, we want to be fan impacting in a positive way. We want to make sure we provide good tools to get fans through the gates as quickly as possible. Good tools to know what things fans are interested in from an analytics viewpoint, looking at kind of purchasing patterns and what's appealing to the audience. Recently, we did a survey, kind of a web-based survey, to go find out what people liked, and this was in collaboration with the marketing department, to find out what fans liked about promotions and giveaways. You know, what were the highlights? What were the positives? What were the negatives? So I think that was a little bit unique, that marketing went directly to the fans to solicit some direct feedback. So, other things that may seem trivial but also affect fan experience, taking credit cards in the parking lots, things that are convenience-based, and obviously MLB is working on convenience features through mobile apps like at the ballpark to affect fan experience that way as well. And convenience things like ability to deliver tickets digitally, also digital wayfinding, and some things related to microlocation and how we deliver content in the ballpark.
When most people think of IT, they may think of a help desk, someone they call when they can't log into their email or they need help setting up their phone. Hey, that's a component, but over the last decade, there has been a major transformation in the role information technology plays in any organization, and especially a baseball organization.
10 years ago, we spent about 80% of our time every day fixing broken things, which is not great. That's not a whole lot of fun. Today, we spend about 20% of our time fixing broken things. We spend a lot more of our time building new stuff, fulfilling new requests for technology, which is a lot more fun, by the way. Some of the things we're working on today, obviously we're working with the group that's producing analytics. We also provide the tools for baseball ops, some of their tools for analytics, although they do their own baseball analytics. Working with BAM, and this is probably something everybody would be interested in, on Wi-Fi ballpark-wide. Everybody's asked about that every season. Most of our stuff is related to fan experience access control, tools and automation, and business process and collaborative tools. That's really what we're focusing on today. We spend a lot less time looking at flashing lights and standing in a computer room where there's air conditioning and a lot of noise. We want to work with you guys on delivering whatever tools make your business easier.
One of the biggest challenges in technology is technology itself. It's quite a challenge to forecast the evolution of technology, as Kodak, MySpace, BlackBerry, or any other company that failed to keep up with technology. Or how about break out your 8-tracks and dust off your VCR? Keeping up with the rapid change of technology requires tremendous insight and a little bit of foresight.
There's a law called Moore's Law. It's basically, it's been proven over the last 40 years that the power of technology doubles about every 2 years, which kind of explains where we've come in the last 20 or 30 years, why things have changed so rapidly. One of the fundamental trends in technology, and tech is about people. In the old days, tech was about building blocks and how we knitted things together to accomplish something. And today, that's old school. Today, tech is really about people and social interaction.
The infiltration of technology into our everyday lives is occurring at an alarming rate. Everything seems to be revolving around a connected world. Smart phones, smart TVs, smart cars, smart everything. This concept of the Internet of Things is taking off. Big data is the new buzz phrase in every conference room across America. So, what's the next big thing in technology?
The biggest revolution, I think, in technology has not hit yet. It's about 5 to 10 years down the road, and it's going to be the revolution from computers to thinking machines. In the past, computer chips were big calculators. In the future, and there are several companies working on this today, working on technology where the chips actually function more like a human brain, and it's not bits one and zero on or off. It's really something that works more like neurons. So you're going to see computers that become thinking machines, and probably won't even call them computers anymore. Tech has an impact on culture and society, and the spending of those technology companies kind of form and shape what tools we have and how that affects society. And like I said, the focus of development, all the spending from these companies right now, is really focused on making technology familiar and analyzing enormous volumes of data. Those are the two areas of big spending today.
Many companies are in a rat race to connect consumers in every interaction. They want to take all this data that consumers provide, either via the internet or on their smartphones or through surveys or through visiting certain sites. They want to take all this data and somehow serve the customer in a better way. But with all this data and with technology evolving at such a rapid pace, could we be closer than we think to an iRobot type of world?
We get to a point where innovation starts replacing the physical world with this virtual world, and all of a sudden, all the things that carry your identity are going to focus on the phone. And that's no big prediction. We're already down that path. So kind of the crux of all this that we've talked about so far is technology ties people together in new ways. Social media is a revolution. We didn't have that 15 years ago. It allows us to share experiences in new ways. And MLB is really positioned to take advantage of that. And I'll talk about that in a minute. It changes the way we communicate with human beings. And it accelerates commerce and business. And that's really fundamental and key.
Technology has always been about faster and better. For a front office, there needs to be an infrastructure in place to enable efficient decisions so that there isn't wasted money and wasted time.
What do you do to support the baseball operations?
Our main role in supporting baseball operations, obviously email is critically important, but that's for everybody. We do quite a bit to support scouting staff. You know, they're not in the building. They feel a little bit disconnected. We really try to give them good service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And oftentimes that is the case. They're calling on weekends after hours, and we need to support them because a lot of their operation is weekend and after hours as well.
I'm sure security is a very big thing because, I mean, everybody's looking for a competitive advantage, and baseball is a very competitive industry. I'm sure you deal with security issues and trying to keep that as tight as possible.
We do. Security is even more focused lately, obviously, from what we've seen in the news. It's a continual effort for us. We've made some changes this season specifically related to security. And it's not only our data, but it's our patrons' data. We've done some things with PCI security, done some things to better secure our data on our network as well.
So let's go back to baseball a little bit. It's still being played with a stick and ball, but technology has become a bigger factor in the success on the field.
Video coaching today, video coaching, video scouting, multiple camera angles of every single at-bat. We have video of every single at-bat back to 2004, maybe older.
Yeah.
So what does that do for us? From a coaching perspective, we can use that video to go look at player performance, player mechanics, use that to rate the performance of players. If we're talking about scouting from a video coaching perspective, either players or coaches can go look at what they're doing wrong or right, and they can also go look at an opponent. So a batter can go look at the delivery of a pitcher after the fifth inning. Does he have a tell? Does he get tired? Does he do something different that maybe makes him more hittable? So all that goes on today. Tons and tons of data.
Injuries play a huge factor in sports, and especially for a pitcher in baseball. We know this all too well here at the Texas Rangers. Technology is looking to address those issues and mitigate the risk of injury.
I think bioanalysis sorts of things, and that's biometrics, that's looking at numbers about biology, performance, metrics, health, any of that sort of stuff. And then biomechanics is actually looking at the study of motion. And if you think about that, we've got tons of video. Some of it's really high resolution. There's going to come a day when the tools are practical and affordable to go look at motion of a player and think about the idea of looking at a particular arm motion, shoulder motion, extension, how a pitcher delivers a pitch. And if you could learn things about that, and then start using that either for corrective action for a pitcher or to project longevity, to predict the kind of the curve of their career as their performance declines over years. So I think there's going to come a day when there's really an opportunity to do some bioanalysis that lets baseball ops know a lot more about what's going on with players, also medical. which obviously we'd be interested in.
Last season, data security became a huge topic of discussion in Major League Baseball when hackers leaked confidential trade discussions from the Houston Astros. The data breach actually altered the way the Texas Rangers IT department dealt with certain foreign countries.
So what had happened is the Astros had published an article, and this is scary from a social and media perspective. They had published an article talking about their new scouting system, which was a private web-based application. And some hacker read that and tweeted them and said, there's no such thing as a private internet. Internet's public. And they told, and this hacker said, you know, take it back, retract the story, clarify your story. And of course, you never know who's on the other end of a comment like that. So they didn't pay attention to the hacker. So the hacker paid more attention to them and somehow was able to log into their scouting system. And their scouting system has a lot of similar information to what ours does. And it works in a way that's somewhat similar. Fortunately, we have one layer of security they didn't have. So they would not have been able to repeatedly log into ours the way they did to the Astros. What they had done is they had somehow managed to steal notes, scout notes about players, and that information was actually posted on a hacker's place called Anonbin. If anybody's familiar with Anonymous, it's actually information. It's covertly captured information that's stored in a place that's protected by Anonymous. So it's hard to make the information go away because these international hackers. Was concerning to us, so we turned on some additional tools to kind of watch for bad activity, and we actually saw about once a week this attempt, kind of a tap, tap, tap on the door, and we had enough information to see where it was coming from, and it was coming from Algeria, which is the same place, theoretically, that the hack came from with the Astros, and we've now started doing country blocking, so we block a lot of countries.
That has to be one of the biggest fears.
It's a problem. Yeah. Losing proprietary data is a real big problem. Protecting the information about our players and employees is very important. And protecting our patrons, because we do have some patron information, so we want to make sure that we do everything possible to protect all that data.
On the fan side of things, it's all about serving the consumer and anticipating their needs before the consumer even knows what they want.
One of the first things, and we're already seeing this, is tech gives us the ability to make closer connections with patrons. So our fans have a closer interaction with us today, primarily because of social media, website, but then mobility. In the future, and I'm looking at some of the folks that work on analytics, the ability to predict and understand trends and the underlying causes of trends, whether it be ticket purchases, attendance, you know, things like impacts of weather or starting pitcher. And it's funny, with analytics, I think we've discovered that some of the questions that we originally asked were kind of shallow. Once you have the tools and the information to start analyzing things, you learn a lot more. And for an example, weather. You know, conversation about whether or not weather impacts attendance. Does anybody have an idea about that? Weather does impact attendance. Weather doesn't impact attendance. You're either both wrong or right, depending on how you look at it. So the real answer is, when we have a winning season, people really don't care if it's 105 degrees. They come to the game. When we don't have a winning season, they're a lot more likely to stay at home when it's 105 degrees, but even that's a little bit shallow. SMU took a look at some of the data related to weather, and what we found is attendance is actually affected by weather circumstantially based on where you sit. So where are your seats? Some seats are a lot more susceptible to weather.
One of the new technological advances in place at Globe Life Park is iBeacon.
iBeacon is a technology, it's actually referred to as microlocation services, and you can think of that kind of like GPS for inside a building, but it's very, very accurate to within inches of your location. We have iBeacon at the ballpark. iBeacon should interact with the ballpark app this season. And right now there's not a lot of huge opportunity there. The main thing today that it does for us is check you into the ballpark. So if your ballpark app is running and you've got Bluetooth turned on, which is the way iBeacon works, then you get checked in on the ballpark app. So you've arrived at the ballpark, it welcomes you. In the future, if you have a digital ticket, checking in at the gate will automatically pop up a ticket. BAM is working on some other very useful tools, the ability to pay for things. So you can present your cell phone as tender to purchase concessions, to purchase tickets, to purchase retail merchandise.
One of the primary purposes in always pushing forward with technology at the ballpark is convenience and better service for the fans. How can the Texas Rangers deliver a better ballpark experience through technology?
How long is the line to the bathroom? I don't want to go the wrong direction. My phone may tell me which direction to go to the least crowded concession stand, the least crowded bathroom, individually tailored promos and discounts. Today, if you're familiar with experience, gives you the patron the ability to do in-seat upgrades from a mobile phone device.
The possibilities are endless. The great thing about technology and one of the reasons for innovation in general is thinking about the seemingly far-fetched ideas.
Not today. Future world. Virtual presence and virtual reality. So the first one, virtual reality, the idea that you can watch a game from the perspective of a player on the field. So think about either on your television or a mobile device, pulling up a view of home plate from the mound as the pitcher is delivering a pitch. That's not far-fetched. The NFL is already doing a lot of stuff with cameras on players. There's a lot of obstacles to doing that because it may interfere with the game. The improvement of technology becoming smaller and more affordable, is going to make that more possible in the future. Virtual presence, that's a lot more bizarre, maybe less understandable. The idea that, for example, you could take a picture with your favorite player from 40 years ago in their clubhouse, that is not far-fetched. So the idea is that you've got historical video or still photos, and you can overlay your picture with a picture of a location and a former player and share that on social media. I know the NFL is trying that. I'm not sure it's going to take off. There's probably some variation of that that would be interesting to fans.
It seems with technology, all you really have to do is ask, what if? If you have an imagination, there's usually somebody out there that can use technology to solve a problem. Well, that's it for another episode of Dugout Dirt. I'd like to thank you for listening. I'd like to thank our Vice President of Technology, Mike Bullock. I'd also like to thank Becky Kimbrough, Sarah Stone, Anissa Pruitt, and everybody in the Texas Rangers Marketing Department, as well as everybody else in the front office that help out on this podcast and allow us to be posted every other week. Also, big shout out to my co-producer and editor, Byron Hardy, for making me sound somewhat coherent and making this story flow. If you would like more original Texas Rangers content, I would encourage you to go to texasrangers.com/neverevercit. This podcast can always be found on iTunes. Search Texas Rangers Podcast and at texasrangers.com/podcast. I'd like to thank you for listening. And until next time, my name is Jared Couch, and we'll talk to you later.